From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. Today, President Obama offered a strong defense of his administration's foreign policy in a commencement speech at West Point.
The president said the U.S. remains the indispensable nation. The question is not whether America will lead, but how. And to the cadets seated before him, he said this.
You are the first class to graduate since 9/11. Who may not be sent into combat in Iraq or Afghanistan.
We want to start our coverage with NPR's national political correspondent, Mara Liasson. Hi, Mara.
Hello.
And his critics say he doesn't have a foreign policy. Do you think he responded to them?
Well, I think he did respond to them. He did it in a familiar way. He did it by setting up two extremes, isolationism versus boots on the ground, war. And he said that he rejects both of those, that the United States has to lead, but not always, by using military action. He made this speech at a time when the American public is dissatisfied with his leadership on foreign policy. But ironically, the country is where the president is in terms of pulling back, ending the wars. In that cut you just played, Iraq war is over. Afghanistan war is ending. The country wants that. 47% in a recent poll said they want the United States to do less abroad, not more. So he is where the country is on that, but they also seem to want a president who projects more strength.
Well, he mentioned this, as you're saying, this idea of working with other countries, a more unilateral approach, and had this to say about how that works.
Now, there are a lot of folks, a lot of skeptics, who often downplay the effectiveness of multilateral action. For them, working through international institutions like the UN or respecting international law is a sign of weakness. I think they're wrong.
Mara, he also spoke to people who might think that the U.S. is not in as strong a position as it once was in the world. He ticked off what he thinks the accomplishments are, including Osama bin Laden dead and al-Qaeda's leadership in the border region between Pakistan and Afghanistan decimated. He said we've refocused our investments. He talked about the economy. What else jumped out at you?
Well, what jumped out at me was that he did paint a very positive picture of some of the efforts that he's been most criticized for. Syria, for instance, he hinted that the United States would be giving more military aid to the rebels, although he wasn't specific. But he did, for instance, when he talked about multilateral institutions, he painted a very positive picture about Ukraine. Mm-hmm. He said how NATO stepped up to the plate, the IMF stepped up to the plate, the OSCE monitored these elections, which were basically free. And he hedged it a bit. He said he doesn't know how the situation will play out. But we stood with our allies and international institutions, and we gave the Ukrainian people a chance to choose their future. Most people see the Ukrainian episode as something pretty scary, where Putin seems to have won. But now maybe the president sees he's at a turning point in public opinion where maybe, as Tom Friedman wrote in the New York Times this morning, it was Putin who actually blinked.
Well, there's that. But the president also seemed to be speaking to people. There's just increasingly calls for the U.S. To help in Africa. We said earlier today to look for missing young girls, to help in Ukraine. And he said to these cadets, I'm not going to be one of those people that's going to send you to war just because there's a problem that needs fixing around the world.
That's right. But this is the challenges of a new multipolar world. And he did talk a lot about beefing up our partners' capabilities in order to confront all these challenges. The U.S. is the indispensable nation, as he said, but it can't do everything. And that's why he talked about giving more money to other countries to help them fight terrorism, deal with issues like the kidnapping of girls in Africa. And I think that really is where the president wants to go. You've got to beef up these not only multilateral institutions, but the capabilities of other countries to defend themselves and deal with this problem, yeah, in addition to the United States.
It's almost as if the U.S. becomes the trainer in chief in some of the ways you put it.
NPR's, yes, yeah, I think that's right.
NPR's national political correspondent, Mara Liasson, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, in the exact words of President Obama and what you were just talking about, Robin, were just because we have the best hammer does not mean that every problem is a nail. Probably something we'll be seeing in the papers over the next day or so. Let's get more on this now from Bing West. He's a retired Marine captain, served as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security under President Reagan. He's the author of 10 books on Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan, and he joins us now. Bing, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, what's your take on the speech?
Well, I think it was misplaced for the audience. If you are going to go before the United Nations and you want to praise international institutions, by all means do so. But going to West Point and talking about international institutions and basically in a defensive way, he reminded me of a man just about to go to the dentist, and he has to give a speech before he goes to the dentist. His heart wasn't in it. He received very slight applause. He didn't connect with the audience. And when you stood back and said, what did he tell me? He said, international institutions are the way to solve the problems of the 21st century.
Well, what's wrong with that in principle?
I think it's nuts, but that's just my personal opinion. But you don't go to West Point, where they're going to spend their lives in the career of the military in defense of our country, fighting our battles, and spend all your time praising the United Nations and complaining that the Senate of the United States hasn't passed the law of the sea, and therefore they're weak, therefore China is free to take the South China Sea. I mean, it just struck me, Jeremy, that he wasn't connecting the kinds of speech that he wanted to give with the audience he was giving it to.
Okay, let's listen to some of what he said there today so people can hear some of perhaps what you're talking about. On what he said was the most direct threat to America, he argued for a shift.
For the foreseeable future, the most direct threat to America at home and abroad remains terrorism. But a strategy that involves invading every country that harbors terrorist networks is naive and unsustainable. I believe we must shift our counterterrorism strategy, drawing on the successes and shortcomings of our experience in Iraq and Afghanistan, to more effectively partner with countries where terrorist networks seek a foothold.
So, Bing, you have a problem with that?
Well, yes, I have several problems. The first is he's been president for 5 years. He's shifting his own strategy. He could have shifted it 5 years ago, but what's the shift that he's talking about? He just said to the Afghans, I'm out of here. You're on your own, after he had told us earlier that he was going to defeat the Taliban. And he then used the next sentence, Jeremy, that you didn't mention. He used Benghazi as the example. And I was shaking my head thinking, what's he talking about here? Because he was the one who said that there wasn't a threat in Benghazi. And then he said, I'm going to put $5 billion into this effort. That's 1% of the entire defense budget. So how serious are we if he spends a speech on 1% of the budget?
Well, and I think that the White House would probably argue with you saying that he's saying, I'm out of here with Afghanistan, because he is leaving almost 10,000 troops there for a little bit longer than was expected. But let's listen to some more of him, Bing West. Here is the president saying that America should lead by example.
But what makes us exceptional is not our ability to flout international norms and the rule of law. It is our willingness to affirm them through our actions. And that's why I will continue to push to close Gitmo, because American values and legal traditions do not permit the indefinite detention of people beyond our borders.
Bing West, he hasn't closed Gitmo, and that's something a lot of people may be puzzled by, that he brought that up in that speech.
Well, the idea of us flouting international, he keeps putting up these straw men, you know, everyone wants to invade except me, et cetera, and then knocking them down. We established the international order. The international order didn't establish us. If it hadn't been for the United States winning World War II and declaring freedom of the seas and beginning the effort to pull together the United Nations and standing up to Russia, we wouldn't have the world we have today. So for the president to reverse it as though these international standards existed before us and we're flouting them is to revise history against America when, as our president, he should be standing up for us. If he wants to close Gitmo, take those murderers and terrorists there and do something with them. Declare to the states, I'm going to turn them over to you and see what happens. The reason he cannot close Gitmo is that the Congress of the United States, that were all with majorities of the Democratic Party in both the Senate and the Congress, refused to have these murderers come into their prisons. So I don't know who he's arguing against.
That's Bing West, retired Marine captain, served as an assistant secretary of defense for international security under President Reagan. Bing West, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.